Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, broker here at Stone X. Work with farmers, traders, speculators, hedge, end users on the commodity side for the grain markets. If you have any questions about what we do here, feel free to contact me. If you like the podcast, please go to iTunes and give it a positive review. If you want to check out the newsletter, you can go to turnerstake.com and sign up for it there. If you are a client and like what you hear and maybe you have some of these positions on or you want to put on more or make an adjustment, give me a call or shoot me a text. And you know, if you're not a client here and like to know more about how that works, feel free to contact me too. We do everything from futures and options to consulting and advising on the cash markets and also with OTC. So let's dive right into it. I was writing yesterday in Turner's Take on, basically, I was out of the office last week for the first time in about 15 months since before COVID started. So, and then I did work on Wednesday during the report. So the report came out and it was a bullish surprise for new crop acres. Quarterly stocks were close enough to where they needed to be or where the market thought they would be. The endings, the planting intentions were lower than the market was thinking. Now, will farmers end up planting more because prices have come up, or maybe they were a little bit conservative on their estimates? We will find out. Hard to say right now, but I think the general consensus out there is acres will go up from where they were on Wednesday, that March 31st report. Corn came in at 91, around 91, and I think soybeans were in like 97.5. And with trend line yields, that's just too low. We're not going to see what the ending stocks are yet projected for new crop until the May WASD. The WASD coming up, the April WASD, will still just be about old crop. The May WASD will be about new crop. But you still get analysts and brokers and traders like me who will publish what they think new crop should be around, and it's give us an idea of where prices can go or the ranges we could trade in. So I sent out a couple of tables from StoneX yesterday. I have a couple of my own tables that I'm going to publish today. Also some trade ideas. I can go through them a little bit on the podcast, but I am a Series 3 licensed broker. I'm also registered for swaps and OTC, and there's only so much you can provide over social media. However, if you do get the newsletter, you should see a little bit more detail on that. For whatever reason, the NFA is a lot more comfortable with recs and trade ideas over email instead of social media. And also, obviously, you can always give me a call or shoot me an email, or we can come up with a custom plan. But here is the deal. We're going to start with corn at 91.15 planted acres and a trend line yield of 179.5. New ending stocks are probably about 1.4, 1.5 billion. That's probably where we'll be this year with old crop. I do think exports will come up some, not 3 billion, but I can see a 2.7 billion or something like that. And that's going to put ending stocks at about 1.4 to 1.5 billion. Corn will trade where it is. The reason why I think corn is going to be elevated here in the low fives and high fours, maybe even to the mid fives, is just because next year is looking so tight also. So we're not really adding any stocks year over year, which means we come in the year tight. And if we have any summer weather problems, old crop corn could hit 6, new crop corn could hit 5. And that's just regular weather market. I mean, if we have a hot and dry summer where we have some real potential for a lower crop, then prices can go can go higher from there. You know, early weather reports do suggest we'll be drier than normal and hotter than normal. And plus, if you look at the drought maps, you know, they're not great in the northern plains and out west. But also, too, what's a big difference is in the past couple of years, and I've been saying this before, the soils have really been supercharged with moisture, and that is not the case. So could have a problem with ratings here and quality and some bigger weather markets than we've seen for the past few years. And if that's the case and we get some real damage, let's say in corn, say acre, you know, let's say it's a 172 yield, which isn't that, I mean, 7 bushels, you know, past 180, we're talking 3-4% lower on the yield, which could definitely happen given conditions. You know, all of a sudden we have an ending stock of a billion, or, you know, either, and, you know, days of supply are about 25, stock to usage is 6-7%. You know, and at that point, you know, we're above 6 in old crop and above 5 in new crop. And, you know, exactly how high we go, who knows? But that is probably the upside on corn here. You know, the downside, let's say we plant 92 million acres and have a 182 yield. I don't know how much bigger the, based on the current numbers, I don't know how much bigger planting can get and how much the yield could be better just looking at the conditions. And if that's the case, we have an ending stock of 1.7, 1.8. But prices are still around $4. Now they're not $5 or, you know, $6. I mean, but and $4 may look low compared to that. But we would still have prices in the low fours on the bearish scenario of corn. So for new crop, so it just gives you an idea of there's not a whole lot of room for error. And if we do get real production issues, you know, the market could rally fast in the corn market. So there are a couple of things I do like. If you have questions about it, let me know. I think the old crop presents, what would happen with old crop is if we have real production issues, what happens is not only does new crop go up, but old crop has to go up because ending stocks for old crop are beginning stocks for new crop. So price rationing just doesn't happen with the new crop if you have new crop issues. Price rationing also happens with old crop to be able to basically get through to the next, you know, get through to the next cycle. So in that case, you would think July corn could go to $6 or higher if we're talking, you know, yields of sub 175, definitely like 172, 173 would put it there. So it's not, you know, that's not a huge difference in a variation. You're just based on weather and conditions and things like that. You know, I was looking at the $6 calls. I was looking, which weren't so bad. They were about 10, 11, 12 cents. There are some interesting good ways to buy call spreads and maybe sell a put way down low. I kind of like that. If I'm a farmer here, and no one really has old crop anymore, but if you did, I guess you could sell the futures, buy a call, sell a put, and collar it. But if I'm a spec player on the corn market right now, where a farmer who sold cash, grain, and might want to have some kind of, I don't know, revenue protection option, you can call it, with an out-of-the-money call. The $6 call, or, you know, something like a $5.50, $6 spread, or, six, you know, $5.70, $6.50, they're more reasonable than you think for the kind of potential we might have later this summer. Now, can we get much above, to go above six in July corn this year? Again, the market's going to have to be concerned about yields being sub 175, but with trend yields at 179.5, you know, it doesn't take that many weeks of dry weather or slow planting or good to excellent ratings not being up where they have been for the past couple of years to get there. And for the market, and we might not finish at that yield at the end of the year, the market will price it in on a weather scare, right? Until the weather gets better. So that's going to be an interesting one. I think that's how we're going to look at corn. And if, you know, if we do get that high, we'll probably look to see what we can do on the short side, especially if we think the acres will eventually come in and the yield eventually come in, but that would be later on around harvest. I mean, between now, early April and in June and well into July, perhaps, this could be still a bull and a weather story. So we want to try to take advantage of that. In the soybean market, I think it's even more potential for some bullish price action here. So the report said 87.5 million acres. I know analysts that won't even put that number on their sheet, their supply and demand sheet. They're just starting off with 90. I saw that at StoneX. I have scenarios of 90, 89, and 88. I just don't think we'll be at 87.5. Soybean prices are going to be too high. If something's going to steal acres, I do think it'll be soybeans. Or if there's something held back or will get planted more of, I think it'll be soybeans. When I take a look at the soybean stocks estimated at 120 for old crop, you know what? At 90 million acres and a 51.5 yield, because the crush and exports are so strong, you can still make the case ending stocks are 150 in that scenario, or maybe 160, 170, with a big South American crop coming along the way, and prices are still above 10, you know, this 10 to 12 range most likely in that scenario for new crop. Now, you take a look at new crop now, we're in like 1250, you know, we've been playing at 1250, 1260, 1270, 1280, at $10 looks real low. But if you get a big crop on big acres and you get harvest pressure and, you know, I mean, we're still probably looking at $10 soybeans in that kind of situation. And that's the most bearish I can get on soybeans right now, which means we like the upside. So if there was going to be an issue, and let's say we only get 88 or 89, let's say you get 88 million acres, we'll be really bullish here. Let's say you only get 88 million acres. And the yields are 49.5, which isn't that far. It's only one bushel below trend line. I mean, we've got ending stocks of 100,000. We're price rationing crush and exports by 50 to 100 million bushels. And just based and looking at where prices were in similar situations, you know, November beans could be a summer high of like $14, $15. Which, you know, sounds very high for new crop soybeans, but basically we have to have price rationing. I mean, if I don't change the crush in the exports, we're like negative 100 on the carryout. So to ration 100, 250, or even 200 million bushels of demand, you know, not only do prices have to go high enough to stop that demand, prices have to go high enough to get record acres around the world for soybeans. So in order to do that, you really got to price it. You know, the market will price it out. Also, there's going to be a lot of people who need beans that aren't going to be able to buy them, and they're going to have to really bid them up in the futures market. So that is the most bullish scenario. Something more likely might be 89 million acres and a 50.5, which is trendline yield. You know, in that case, we can finish, you know, around 120 where we are now with not a ton of price ration. There'll be something in crush and exports, maybe like 25 million here and there. And by the way, in all these scenarios, we're importing soybeans at some point from South America, whether it be, you know, whether we're importing, usually import 35 million bushels a year here and there, which isn't a lot considering you produce, you know 4.5 billion, but, you know, importing 50 million here and there. But, you know, it's usually 35 million imports. We could be 50, 60, 75, and the USDA is going to say this too. Like, there will be imports from South America to help us along. So what could happen in the summer? I mean, I was looking at, you know, $15 calls. I was looking at $14 calls, you know, the $15, 17. I mean, the $15, 17 spread was under 20 cents. There's, so, you know, you could probably sell, you know, I was looking at call spreads you can buy, and maybe, you know, you can be selling put spreads like in the 11s and 10s to pay for it almost, even if you want to bother with that risk. But the November soybean call spreads were very interesting for clients who either just want to buy into now as a spec play. If you're a farmer and want to sell soybeans on a big rally, and you may not want to do it HTA, you may want to do it on the board. I mean, you could probably, I mean, buy a $15 call. I want to say it was around, I know the spread was around 14 cents, or the one I was looking at before. I'll put it in Turner's Take newsletter. And obviously you can call me or text me or shoot me an email if you're a client. But the November soybean $15 call is around 22 cents. You could sell it if you're a farmer, you could buy that and sell into it. I mean, we're at 1270 right now. You get real weather issues. I mean, we could definitely go $13, $14, depending on how bad those weather issues are. But we're dry and we need to add on 2 million acres, even just to get there. Which is not, which is gonna be no, could be a tall order. So I don't know. I think kind of these, you can call them a lottery ticket. I really don't, but this is the year to try them. I mean, it really is. With the tight stocks and the weather and the low acreage, this is the, I mean, I don't, I would definitely take a look into this for hedge and hedge and spec. As far as my favorite trade this year has been bean oil. I like trading bean oil in the old crop, and I prefer to trade soybeans in the new crop. So I'm very bullish on the bean complex overall. I think soybean oil is an interesting one because we're not going to crush for oil. So if there's any kind of like spike in demand because we're not going to crush for the oil, you can kind of see the big fluctuation in the old crop. And I think that's, and old crop really has been outpacing new crop, even most more so than in beans and meal, I think. So, I mean, I mean, July soybean oil is at 51 and a half, 52 cents. I mean, a 60 call, which by the way, in 2012, we traded up to 70, I think over 70, 75 cents or 13. It was those years. I mean, a 60 call is a point, a full point, which is like $600. A 60-65 call spread, you could probably get for around half a point, which is around $300. I mean, each point in soybean oil is $600. So, you know, six times five, that's a $3,000 spread. You're looking, you know, you might, I mean, and again, you know, you're buying it for around a half a point to hopefully it'll be worth about five. So that's a 10 to 1 ratio. You don't see that kind of stuff without extreme moves, but if there was a summer to see some extreme moves and, you know, take a flyer on something, that makes sense to me. So on the spec side, I like the bean oil one. For the soy, for spec and producers, I'd be looking at the old crop, new crop soybeans. If you want to play old crop soybeans, I would just use bean oil. Whether you're a spec or a farmer, I think it's going to be the most bullish of the two. You can just use soybean oil as a proxy for soybeans. For old crop. And then for corn, again, if I'm a speculator, I'd be looking at some maybe $5 December calls would be an interesting play. And basically what you're saying is what if we have real issues this summer? And yeah, that would be kind of the play to take a look at. If and if I'm a farmer, you could probably use actually, $5 are now pretty expensive. I'll have to take a look again at those call spreads. I mean, a $5, $6 call spread's 20 cents, and you can sell, and then the 440 puts are about 20 cents. That's interesting. Or the 440, $4 put spreads are 12, 13, 14 cents, depending on how we're trading that day. You can use that to finance call spreads with a dollar upside. There's some interesting plays here on the new crop, whether you're a spec or because you can use that as a collar if you're a farmer, and you can use that straight spec as a spec trader. So there's some very interesting ways to do it. I'll have some ideas in the newsletter. If you want to make something custom for you, whether it's your risk reward tolerance as a speculative trader, or it's how you need to run your operation on the farm side. And also too, now that we're StoneX, we have a lot more end users that listen to this. If I'm a commodity, if I need to buy commodities, whether you know it's soybean oil, you know, for food and diesel and biodiesel, or if it's you know corn, which is really feed, I would be you know feed and industrial use also. I'd be looking at these strategies too. You know, I know some, it's, I mean, there is definitely price risk to the upside for the end user here. And there's a way, you can't always mitigate that 100% and hedge that away 100%, but you can do a big chunk of it here in the futures market in case things really take off. So that's my bias right now after that report. We will get pullbacks. We I think we have a pullback today in Dee's corn. You know, we will have pullbacks along the way. The pullbacks will be big. We'll all think that, oh, the market's ending. Usually it's not. There's an old saying, you know, bull markets always let you in. And when we do get the pullbacks, I like buying calls and call spreads and selling puts and selling put spreads. On the spec side and for the re-ownership side, and also kind of the courage calls we've always done, to sell into. For the hedgers, farmers out there that are concerned, not concerned, they know they have good prices and they may want to hedge and try to lock in some of those prices. I think collars work the best in this situation. You know, for a while I've been a big proponent of just doing everything in the cash market, but you can't do everything in the cash market, especially the farther out you go. So there's two ways to go about it. If you're a producer and you want to start hedging some of the stuff, A, you use collars in the deferred months, or two, you use the OTC market. And if you're a farmer and it's a hedge account, you'd be surprised how low, basically their finance, I don't want to get into this now, there are financial requirements for trading OTC for, let's say, speculation, which is actually a high threshold. But for the hedger, it's not. It's actually kind of nice. So if you are interested in that and you want to hedge out, let's say, a year or more, the OTC market gives more liquidity and better pricing and better margin through StoneX. And if you're interested in that, let me know and I can run some examples by you. Otherwise, use the futures and the collars, and that would work too. So anyways, don't want to get too much in the weeds there, but that is what we're looking at. That report was bullish. The market's now going to probably find a setting. And the next leg higher doesn't happen unless, you know, until a weather market, but we're not that far away and conditions don't look that great. And we'll probably have some kind of weather scare. And if it's a big one, it can be a big price mover. So if you have any questions, give me a call. If you want to talk about your positions, let me know. I will have some trade ideas out. If you want something custom, let me know. Happy to do that. I hope everyone had a good week. I'll talk to you all soon. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.